What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday as we record this episode. We've got a fun weekend of really good football. I know, you know, we've had a lot of weekends where we come in, we're kind of like, this is a shitty college week, or this is a really bad NFL week in terms of games that we have on the docket. But we can't say that this weekend. This weekend is a fun weekend. We got conference championship Saturday and Friday night for your Pac-12. And then we have a really good bunch of games on Sunday with the NFL. So we're going to get into all that. Plus, a previous superstar is now coming back. And that's going to be what I wanted to ask you first. But as always, we're brought to you by Bet Online.
Yeah, and basketball is back. It's hoop season, not only the NBA, but college hoops. Segs and I's favorite. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup information, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet your favorite sports and events, whether it's the NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. And we know World Cup's going on, and obviously hoops in college as well. Head to BetOnline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE. That's B-L-E-A-V. BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
As always, thank you to Bet Online. All right, Sean, let's start with the big story. Got to be the big story for you guys down there in Houston on your morning show. It's one of the biggest stories in the NFL this week. We knew it's been coming. We talked about the suspension when it happened, the multiple suspensions that got changed and everything. Well, now he's back. Deshaun Watson will make his Cleveland Browns debut as their quarterback against his former team, the Houston Texans, this week in Houston. And reports are that the lawyer that's been going after him is bringing Tony a bunch Busby. Of the women to the game. They've got a box that they're going to sit in, a suite. And I don't know how I feel about that. But anyways, Deshaun Watson's back on the field. Let's just start here. What do you expect to see from him after not playing all of 2021 and these first 11 games of 2022? What do you expect from Deshaun Watson, the quarterback?
700 days around there that he hasn't played football. Yep. But with that's a long time. But Segs, he's also in the prime of his career. It's not like a guy who's 35 or 36, been out 2 years and comes back, right? Here's what I expect from him. People are going to gather. This isn't, I don't, you hate him, you like him, you can't stand what he did. He wanted out of Houston, then he got in trouble off the field, all the things. That's for everybody, you guys, to decide on your own. We've been through that ad nauseum for, as a matter of fact, I'm tired of it, to be honest with you. But Segs, I fully expect there may be a little rust, you know, like the timing of a bang post and the rest of it. But if he walks out of that locker room and goes like 6 out of 7, fresh legs, you know he's got some incentive because he wanted out of here before all this stuff went down anyway. He's got this new contract. The Browns still think they got an outside shot at the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He's there like been the oh my gosh, we got our superstar back. And now you can expand some offensive stuff. I love Jacoby Brissett, but Watson gives you a different look, right? And he's playing against a team that he didn't trust, and obviously at the end didn't trust him either. And I think the fan base, and we'll get to it, Segs, but on the field, while it may not be his best game, I fully expect, whether it's this week or two, it's not going to take a year for him to be playing great football. I'm just telling you. The guy's that good talent-wise. I would expect – here's how his performance is going to be. It will not shock me if he plays lights out. I think by the end of the game, it would shock me more if he was 9 of 27. By the end of the game, if you didn't watch football, you're not going to know he missed 700 days of football. That's how I feel. That's how I feel. And they're going to beat the Texans, and I think he'll play well enough to beat him, and enough that he'll watch the tape and go over it and miss a few things, but he'll also make some plays to say, shit, okay, well, now that's the quarterback we knew about when he left.
Yeah, the NFL did him a huge favor, not only bringing him back to Houston. I know it's a sideshow and it's going to be this big thing. It was going to be no matter against who he played. He gets to come back against the team he wanted out from. So he's got all that behind him, all those feelings behind him that he wants to come out and show this franchise, you know, you guys screwed around way too much. Now you lost a franchise guy, and yet put the off the field stuff aside. You guys screwed around for those last few years. You got me killed, you know, taking all these sacks, all this stuff. And that's why I wanted out before all the off the field stuff happened. And then on top of that, the Houston Texans just flat out suck. Like, they're barely an NFL team. They are terrible when it comes to playing on the football field. I mean, we could talk about all the off the field, you know, the front office stuff, and that's garbage as well. But just looking at the team on the field, they're by far the worst team in the NFL. It's not even close.
Yeah, you're right. And it's everything. It's not just talent. It's preparation. It's buy-in from players to coaches and coaches to buy-in. It's innovativeness. It's the ability to think outside the box. It's all those things. And I'm going to tell you now, the main reason if that crowd's not sold out or it's not rocking is not going to be because Watson is there and they can't stand him, right? Matter of fact, there's quite a few Texans fans. They want him to go there and kick the Texans' ass so they can keep getting the first pick and prove that the Texans' front office screwed things up. There is that group. There's the group that's going to hate him no matter what because of what he did off the field or allegedly did off the field. And then there's the group that is bitter at him that he wanted out before all this happened but still craves him to be the quarterback for the Texans. And then there's the group that doesn't really give a shit about anything but wondering if the Texans can survive this. So there's going to be five, you know, there's going to be layers everywhere, and it'll be uncomfortable. I can't imagine he seems to be able to compartmentalize with narcissism and not worry about anything. Segs, that's why I think he has the ability to say, yeah, well, that stuff's behind me. I'm a football player now, and go play. I do. Right. Now, the normal human being would be like, dang, you know, the remorse and everything that goes through would be like, man, this is odd, right? I got to get into the flow again because that's life. That's real life stuff. Well, and then for the dozen people or so, the women that are supposed to be in Tony Busby, that suite. If it was a 25 person suite and 10 more people were in there, that can't be a comfortable day for those women to see him. And then the conversation that goes on. Now, if they need it, if it's cathartic or if it's to make Deshaun feel uncomfortable, like we're still here, or if it's just that they want to go, the guy's back doing his job, whatever. It's just it feels like a very uncomfortable situation for everybody. Yeah. But you know who will be the least uncomfortable in my mind when he playing? Segs? Him. I honestly, whether he should or shouldn't, I just think he's like one of those, oh, it's football time. Now, it seems a little odd, right, Segs? But as far as football goes, the reason fans won't show up is not because of him.
It's because the Texans
suck. The main
suck.
Reason. You know, that's exact. If the Texans were 5-6 or 6-5 or hovering there, that place would be filled to the rim in this. I can't wait to see him get after Deshaun. Let's see how he plays after
the booze would be
all
raining
would
down.
Be that's exactly right. The reason it will not be rocking or sold out or that loud, which you'd normally see for a situation like this, is because they're so bad. The product they're putting preparation wise on the field, finish talent wise, is nothing short of as amateur hour as it gets. It's one of the worst I've seen in a long time. They're pathetic on the field.
Yeah, and you know who this helps the most is Nick Chubb, is Amari Cooper, is Donovan Peoples-Jones, is David Njoku. It helps the offensive weapons because, yes, Jacoby Brissett's done a solid job there. They're 4-7. They really should be a little bit better of a record with him coming back, but they are 4-7. They have that very, very outside shot of getting in the playoffs. But when you have a guy that is good as Deshaun Watson is on the field, I wouldn't put anything past this offense from being one of the best offenses in football these last 7-8 weeks, whatever we got left.
Agreed. Segs, you can't – first of all, they haven't stopped a good runner all year, and Nick Chubb's one of the best we have.
Right.
And then all of a sudden last week, Miami like, well, we don't have to run it. They threw 30-plus times in the first half, and – there were windows the size of an 18-wheel truck to throw to. And now you got Watson who can run, who can throw, and who's got a run game, and you've got Cooper and Njoku. Like you said, you named all the names, Nick Chubb. Come on now. If they play like Watson, 80% of Watson's ability, it'll be a curb stomp again for another week.
Right, for sure. Let's look to, in my opinion, the best game of the weekend. We kind of hit on it on Tuesday. That's the Miami Dolphins traveling out to San Francisco to take on the San Francisco 49ers. Dolphins 8-3, Niners 7-4. But I feel like they're even better than their records suggest, because
no question,
the Dolphins have not lost when Tua has finished the game and played a majority of the game. They're 8-0. They were 0-3 when Bridgewater and Skylar Thompson played majority of
how's
the game.
His war? How's his baseball war, Sig? Yeah. How would that war be in baseball?
About a 9.8 with still over a quarter of the season to go. And exactly. Then you got the San Francisco 49ers. They make the big trade for McCaffrey. We know Trey Lance got hurt in week one. Jimmy G stepped in and played really, really well in the system he's familiar with. And this is exactly why they redid that contract and kept him for this season, because they knew that this could be a possibility, and it's turned out that way, and it's worked perfectly. So
absolutely.
The one thing we got to watch.
And they should be better too, Segs. They were hurt. They had like injury after injury after injury. They're getting out now. They're still banged up in the backfield, and McCaffrey's been, they're not practicing him full, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So
he's
keep,
been limited.
Keep an eye on that. That's exactly right.
He's hoping he can play. And then you look at Miami's side, which is very important. Teron Armstead looks like he's going to play. He's going to avoid the surgery for his injury. And he's telling people he's going to suit up and play. And you know how big that is with that front seven of the San Francisco 49ers. When you have one of the best left tackles in football, he needs to play for Tua. But you kind of talked about it with the Houston game and just what we've seen from this Dolphins offense so much this season is how quick Tua gets that ball out to Tyreek Hill, to whoever it is, Jalen Waddle, Gesicki, Sherfield. They've all played really well in this offense. And now you got maybe the best defense in football, and it's just going to be a collision course there in San Francisco. I don't think whoever wins this game is like, oh my God, they're winning the Super Bowl. But I think this is going to be a game that it wouldn't shock me come February if we see the Niners versus the Dolphins in the Super Bowl.
I think there's a legitimate chance that both can be in the Final Four, Segs, playing in each championship game. Now, we've seen the 49ers do it two of the last 3 years, and I actually think they're better. I know they are when they're healthy and McCaffrey's on the field. Yep. And then you look at Miami, shit, they're rolling along like they've been doing this for 5 years offensively. And Mike, and another sidebar, Sigs, two of them is McDaniel and Mike McDaniel and Kyle Shanahan know each other, probably finish each other's sentences, right? Yeah. I mean, separated at the hip in their NFL career. I mean, they've been doing it together. And think about it. I mean, they're both brilliant, you know, and you got the Yale mind that is Mike McDaniel, he doesn't look like an NFL coach, but he sure as hell coaches like one, right? You figure you're going to be like, I feel like I'm in Santa Cruz, going to order buy a surfboard from him and get some wax before I go out to surf in Santa Cruz, California.
It's one of my
brilliant play caller
favorite things to see every single week is you just wait on Twitter and there's videos of Mike McDaniel either at the podium or on the field. Did you see the video where he's talking to Tua and he's like, man, I saw that video of you in high school. You fucking sucked. Your mechanics were terrible. Like, he just teared his quarterback down. There's another video pregame where he's walking down the field, messing with his mic to make sure everything works, talking to Tua, who's just, you know, 5-6 yards away. And he's like, man, it's so nice to see Georgia as the best SEC team. You know, he's just ripping on Alabama. And he's just, that's the type of person he is. And then on top of it, he may be the smartest football mind in the game right now.
Yeah, and he loves Tua, and Tua knows it.
Yes.
And Tua responds to it. And all that shit that Mike talks to him is there's a method to it, you know, that loosen him up.
Keeps
and
him
then go in there and believe in tape. And look what he's doing. Talk about a guy who got buy-in. And Mike looks like the type of guy who'd do that kind of stuff to different players for different reasons to know what their triggers are, right? To get them like, okay, my coach is a cool bastard, but he's still my coach, and I know I got to perform for him. And Tua is doing it. So Segs, that one, because I guarantee when they're on the same staff, Kyle knew what Mike wanted to do in the run game, and Mike did it and vice versa, right? They get it. They start to think, oh, it's second five. I know what Mike would want to do here. And you'll get that. Segs, I want you to keep an eye on a huge key in this one. You mentioned Tua on time, and you get a D'Amico Ryan's defense. It's the best of the best, in my opinion, right now. Notwithstanding, I know Mahomes, but overall, You're getting the best on the one side of the ball and best on the other side of the ball. Is Tua's rhythm and throwing in rhythm and getting that ball out on time is a big part of what they do, right? And that front seven of the 49ers. But I'm also looking outside because you know Mike's going to try to avoid playing to the 49ers' strength. Smart coaches do that, correct?
Yeah.
And in turn, not putting your team in turn, not putting your team in a bad way offensively where you're completely
right.
out of what you do. Keep an eye on how these corners and slot corners take the receivers off their mark at the line of scrimmage. Now, you may see a lot more movement so they get to free release, but Segs, you know, they want to run that quick bang post or the quick slant. If you can take them, Tyreek or Waddle off their mark and make Tua take one extra hitch, 49ers may think that they can get to him, right? And in the quick game, we don't want to hit. So I'm anxious to see how perimeter people handle that speed and space. Because, listen, once they get off free release and they're running to windows, the ball's going to be accurate mm-hmm. and it's going to be thrown on time. So the best way to deter that is you got to maul them at the line of scrimmage so they don't get there because this is a rhythm offense, right, doing the things you do. So you want to make Tua hold the ball for an extra hitch, and the best way to do that is – because even if you blitz him off the slot segs and you don't get there, the ball will come out on a side adjustment before you hit him. Because
right.
they got a great idea. They're protecting it properly, and he understands the protections, what they're trying to get accomplished. But I'm looking at the perimeter play to specifically defensively how those guys get to their spot, and does it take a little longer because the 49ers are physical at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, you just want to hear something crazy, just how good Tua's been. And this is from Lewis Riddick of ESPN. And this is using QBR, the ESPN quarterback stat, which, you know, some people like, some people don't, whatever. It's still a stat that shows how good quarterbacks are. Tua is leading the NFL in total QBR, QBR versus man, QBR versus zone, QBR under pressure, QBR in the pocket, QBR outside of the pocket, QBR in the red zone, QBR in the fourth quarter, and QBR on third down. I mean, I rattled off like 12 things. Those are the 12 most important things when it comes to playing quarterback in the NFL.
Isn't he on pace to throw for like 4,500 yards or 4,400,
yeah, like
even
that,
after
yeah.
missing a couple games, over 4,000. And his completion percentage is going to push towards 68, 69% mm-hmm. by the time this keeps up. And you start to break it down. Segs, when you look at those numbers there and listen, and I know their numbers are stupid good. How is he not the MVP in the league right now?
He's got to be.
How's he not? I mean, no disrespect to Mahomes or Jalen Hurts, but mm-hmm. looking at that, how's this guy? If you're just looking at the raw numbers and they're winning, they're in first place in the AFC East, and this is a huge game for Buffalo tonight in New
yep.
England. Segs, how's he not the MVP of the league?
He has to be.
Imagine
at this moment.
Now parlay this out. How many games he missed? Two or three? Three, right?
Well, I think
it was
he missed
part of
two.
One and then the other two.
Yeah.
Part of one when he got pulled out. I was watching that. I mean, seeing it too. I want you to think about if they put his average in for those other two games and they add the second half of the third. You're looking at a guy who numbers are the same type of numbers that you saw that the Mahomeses and those guys put up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, he was supposed to be the guy they wanted to replace, right? Before McDaniel got there, we'd love somebody, Watson, or we want somebody else. Tua's not taking a backseat to squat this year the way they're coaching him up and the way he's responded. Those stats are alarming. And the 49ers defense is like number one in like eight categories.
Right. And Sean, the crazy thing is, this is year one with Mike McDaniel.
Yes, we're not,
he still hasn't even learned the entire offense.
He hasn't played a dozen games under Mike McDaniel.
I mean, just think about that as I mean, you played NFL quarterback, you played at USC, you played at the highest levels. Think about just getting a fresh playbook with a mind like Mike McDaniel. So it's not like you're just, you know, a coach normal. You know, he says some of the weirdest shit to you probably when you're sitting in a meeting and you're like, what the hell is this guy talking about? And then you realize 10 weeks later, like, oh, I get what are you saying now? You said it. They haven't even played 10 games together.
Wait till Tua learns to finish Mike's sentences, right?
Right.
And understands what he's thinking in a game where he can just point to him and say, you know what I want on third and five, and let's go because the clock's running down. Let's go play. And an offseason, Segs, that's another thing, a full offseason of health, knowing who Mike is. And I know he was there, he got hired, but I'm talking about under you already know the playbook now. Now you're just expanding on, okay, what crazy ass stuff can we do to create problems for defenses, as opposed to, does Tua fit in with what I'm doing? Of course right. he fits in. Mike, listen, this was one of those, you couldn't have scripted a better coach for Tua and this offense, considering who they got. And you would have never known, because Mike's never been Mike's never been a full-time just play caller.
Right.
You know, he's dabbled and he helps the run game coordinator, and now he's doing it, and he's doing it in incredible fashion, and they got buy-in, and that's a big part of it.
And that's the other thing. He hasn't even gotten this run game going near what he wants, 50% of what he wants it to be.
If he could switch it
off. Oh,
he wants to run it 40 times.
Free agency and getting some more offensive linemen that fit his scheme, and you know, just adding backs, because you know how they do it. They got Mostert and the Jeff Wilson Jr. now from the Niners. They know that system, but if you can keep adding better backs in, it's only going to get better, which only helps the passing game get even worse or more dangerous.
Thanks. He wants to run it about 38 to 40 times and throw it between 25 and 30 times. If you give him that distribution, he thinks he can out-scheme anybody. Yeah. And now he's got a quarterback that throws accurate and you know what? It feels like San Francisco-ish anyway. Think about Jimmy's not overly skilled, but balls up and out. Mm-hmm. Steve Young, I know it's a different era, but think about the 49er, the length of it. Yep. Young didn't have a strong arm, but he threw it on time and mastered the West Coast offense. Montana, all of them, when you talk about the physical prowess, have been like, okay, there's better. But when you talk about the result, the accuracy and understanding concepts, there ain't been anybody better.
Yep.
So it's amazing what Mike's done, and I couldn't be happier for Tua, because he just seems like a guy that he never once blinked during all the shit.
Yep.
At least he never let us see it. And here he is. So good for him.
Yeah. Let's look tonight's game. Bills at Pats. Monster game for the Bills. If you lose to the Patriots tonight, I mean, not saying you're like out of the playoffs or you're not going to the Super Bowl or anything, but after losing to the Jets and just kind of everything that's been going on there with injuries and Josh Allen being banged up with the elbow, and, you know, but my thing is, if you're going to be out on the football field playing, I don't want to hear about your elbow. I don't need the announcers telling me every single throw that, oh, that had to hurt his elbow. You're on the field. Well, you're playing quarterback.
And that's how you're getting evaluated.
Yeah. If you're hurt, get off the damn field.
Right. Yeah. I don't need to help. Well, you can, if he underthrows the ball, the first thing you always hear, and you know how I feel about Allen. Yeah. I think he's great. But the first thing they'll say is, oh, that you could tell the elbow that's no, maybe he just missed a throw. Happens, right?
He threw it.
That elbow didn't get in the way on that damn bang post he threw to come back against Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. Exactly. I could sure shit tell you that.
But yeah, I mean, you think the Bills have any problems with the Pats tonight? I mean, it's in New England.
Belichick, you know what says? Yes, that's why. I don't think I'd take the under in the game if I was betting. Yeah, it's like 43.5. I think it's one of those feel your way out, punt, field position. I think the Bills they have too much offense when all is said and done, in my opinion, injury or not. And it's one of those things that, you know, Belichick schemes and they get a three and out, maybe a hit and a fumble. And then they drive. And now Mac Jones is playing pretty solid football, right? But I just think weapons wise, when all is said, this feels to me like a 23-16 type game. Okay.
Yeah.
And I bet it. I'm taking Buffalo. It's 3.5 points. I would take Buffalo to win. I just think a little too much offense, but I don't think Buffalo is going to roll into Foxborough and throw 40 on them. I don't know. Maybe they're primed for it since they've had some struggles, maybe. And you can move the ball on Buffalo's defense a little bit on the back end if you can get protection to throw it. I would expect this to be not within the 3.5 points, but not a 31-10 game at halftime. I don't think I see that.
Let's move on to another. We have five total games this week where we have two winning teams, two teams above 500 playing against each other, which is, we haven't seen this in the NFL. It's got to be for at least most of the season. We got Jets at Vikings. I know this game probably means more to the Jets in terms of making the playoffs and doing all that, but also the Vikings, they've played a lot of close games recently, and then they got drubbed by the Dallas Cowboys there a couple weeks back. I mean, if you're the Vikings, you need to go in, especially with what's going on at quarterback at the Jets, you need to go in and win this game kind of convincingly to show people like, yeah, we're 9-2, but our 9-2 could easily be 4-5 or whatever, the 4-6.
And history for the Vikings is why people got them like power ranking at 9-2, like the 8th or 9th team.
Yeah.
They do. That's where they're at. Normally, 9-2, you're saying that's top five all the way. They don't trust the quarterback. Even though Cousins is having a hell of a year, they think somewhere, somehow, some way late against a really good team in prime time, he's going to throw it to somebody else. That's how they feel, whether he does or not.
Yep.
But the history of that is that's what they're going on, right? That's the old analytics. Well, here's what it's told me in the past. Now, Segs, with this, Minnesota's a talented team, and they should win this game. And I think emphatic's a good point, but here's the next excuse. Go back and look at their schedule. They've played like four or five backup quarterbacks or somebody got hurt throughout. Even though they're winning, people are going to refer to, oh, Mike White. Even though White, quite frankly, is playing better than
He played well against the Bears.
You would rather play Zach Wilson if you're the Vikings right now.
100%.
Because Mike White's far more efficient. So they can go in there and win, but this can't be a game where the Vikings, you know, kick it around. Now, if you win, you win, you pull it out, but you're not going to gain faith from others. Not that that matters outside your building, but I'm going to tell you now, if you turn it over a couple times, the Jets are going to beat you. They're going to hang in this game. I don't see it being a blowout. I think Salah's team will hang around. It'll come down to true that who can run the football, maybe flip the field. And if Mike White's standing upright and he can deliver the football, the Jets aren't going to go away in this. This is no stone cold lock for me.
Yeah, the best matchup of the game is probably Sauce Gardner versus Justin Jefferson. I mean,
going to be a friggin' monster. Yes, sir.
Jefferson is the best wide receiver in football, and Sauce Gardner is a very, very good rookie. But he's
already looks like a Pro Bowl player.
I mean, just his.
But you got to challenge him, don't you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, if you're Jefferson and you're the Vikings, you got to say, all right, let's go see what Sauce is all about. You have to.
Right.
And he's a rookie, so you expect that advantage there. But you know what? I can't wait to see the swagger and what goes on. That's a hell of a matchup. Matter of fact, maybe as good an individual matchup as there is this weekend. And that
definitely
game is often one player because they're both really good and they'll talk it and they'll let you know, which will be a fun watch. But the Vikings are more talented, Segs, but there's some grit about the Jets. And I think the Jets actually think they're a good team now. So this should be a fun game.
Yeah, before we jump to making our picks for championship weekend in college football, let's real quick, Chiefs at Bengals. That's going to be a fun one. I mean, it looks like Ja'Marr Chase may play. He almost played last week, may play this week. I have not seen anything if it has come out yet today saying he will or won't play, but this is a big game for the Bengals if they want to really stay in that playoff hunt and show that they're still a team to be messed with in the AFC.
Yeah, and they know how to play the Chiefs pretty damn well too, Sags.
Yeah.
And the one quarter, listen, I went through on my show about, you know, who's the team, like about 2 weeks ago, who's the team sitting on the outside that you got to be careful of? And maybe you and I even talked about it earlier. It's the Bengals for me in the AFC because I love the quarterback. If they can keep him upright, they've got enough weapons, and they'll score even without Ja'Marr Chase. But we know adding that dude just makes you extremely effective because they're good. So I think this is this ain't the last time. Now, maybe they'll run into each other. If they run into, put it this way, they're both making the playoffs. They may see each other again after this. I love Burrow's poise, Mahomes' big playability. If you're a Kansas City fan, the Cincinnati Bengals can beat you, and they've proven it. But even this year, but nobody's talking about them. I think this is going to be a hell of a game. And you're going to get the best of the best from both quarterbacks. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, it's a fun week in the NFL this week, starting
tonight.
Who
do you like in the game, Segs, as a straight-up pick?
I probably still – it's on the road, but I'd still take Kansas City probably, just straight up.
I'm anxious to see how Bengals come out, how they start the game. Now, Mahomes can always bring you back, but how aggressive they are from the beginning. Do you feel your way out or you say, screw it, we're going to go for the throat early and see if we can put the Chiefs in a chase mode and then try to get some pressure on Mahomes. We'll see. But
yeah,
the Chiefs, you can Bengals, say what you want. Mahomes is the equalizer in anything you do.
Oh, for sure. The Bengals had a slow start to the season. It didn't seem like they were just, you know, clicking on all
cylinders.
They
floundered around, Segs. They looked slow. Yeah.
Yeah, they screwed around. They were 2-3 at one point It just felt like, okay, are the Bengals kind of backsliding after going to the Super Bowl last year? But they've been really good since, even without Ja'Marr Chase. Joe Burrow's
and
been one of the best
Mixon
quarterbacks
too,
in the league.
Trying to get Mixon back fully healthy as well. Oh, Burrow's Segs. One thing we know about Burrow now, it's pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
He wins. Yeah. The guy knows how to win. He knows how to lead people, and they buy into it, and it's awesome. So that'll be a fun game.
Yeah. All right, let's jump to college football, make our picks. Let's start tomorrow night. Your Trojans, -2.5, take on Utah, trying to avenge their sole loss this season, which, you know, obviously they win, they're in. They're number four in the current playoff rankings. They win, they're in. We'll see what happens after that. But this is a big game because we know how Utah likes to play. Who do you got in the game? I think I know which way you're leaning, but who you got -2.5?
Well, you know how I feel about Utah, Segs. Always have. Yep. I mean, anytime you've got Kyle Whittingham coaching your team, I know, and they've got a playmaker quarterback, and we saw the first game. They matched him, and then they went for it, and Whittingham has enough balls. He'll do that damn thing again if he needs to in this game. He doesn't care. He'll do it again. They're going to be physical. Keep them in space and don't let Utah take over because they're more physical than we are. They just are. So you got to take that strength away. The difference is, as good as Rising is, Caleb Williams, if he plays 85% of what he played against Notre Dame, SC will win. Yeah. I don't think it's blowout, Segs. I think you're looking at 31-24 type game, 31-28. It's going to – I believe SC will cover, but it's going to be anxiety-ridden.
You don't think we're looking at both in the 40s again like we saw earlier in the season?
I very easily could. I just think that the odds – I mean, at some point – somebody's got to get a stop or two, right?
Right.
You think. I'm going with you. Now, listen, if you told me to bet the under, I wouldn't touch it. I'd probably bet the over, to be honest with you, because when you think of Utah in the past, it's physical.
Right.
This year, it's Utah. They'll hang 40. Yep. Didn't they hang 60 or 50 on Colorado last week? So they're capable, too. So probably, Segs, if you're smart, you'll take your money and bet it on the over. I'm trying to think, because I don't want it to come down to 44-41.
Right.
And that's how we got to win the damn thing. I want a little cushion. But I think Caleb Williams will end up being the difference, and one more signature moment to get his. The offense will be a little too much.
Real quick, let me throw a scenario at you. 44-41 USC. No, let's say 43-41 USC has the lead. Cam Rising gets the football at the 25 with 2 minutes left. Can your defense make the stop for USC?
Well, I don't know, because I'll be pacing and go shit myself, and I'll have to call you and say how did it end up.
You won't be watching. You're in the back.
Yeah, so I'll say I don't know. Dude, my ass will be with a cigar and a bottle of whiskey, not a glass, a bottle of whiskey, sitting out on my back patio saying, "Turn the TVs off. I've seen this movie." And you know what, Sigs? If it comes down to that, wouldn't it be glorious for me and you and I talking? Did SC got that like four down stop, right?
Now,
I'm not even talking about it. I'm talking about a physical four down, knock you in the mouth, stopped on fourth and a half yard, and the game ended with kneel down with 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm okay, but I still might not see it because I'll be six sheets to the wind, or two sheets to the wind, three sheets to the wind, and a cigar in my mouth. But hopefully the cigar is a victory cigar this week again.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going USC as well. I think they win. I'm going to go more like 42-35.
Okay, so SC gets into the 40s. Okay,
yes, fair enough. SC gets in the 40s and just does enough to hold Utah out. Let's go SEC, LSU versus Georgia. Georgia -17.5. Do they cover? Let's answer that.
I'm actually going to say I'm hoping LSU comes with motivation after they were humiliated last week. If they don't, but Georgia's got a lot to play for. The one seed, Six, they get to stay at home if they want, right?
Yep.
I'm going to say yes. I'm actually going to say they do cover.
Yeah,
I'm going to say that. I just think they're too good. Yeah,
I don't think LSU is that great of a football team. I think Georgia is going to come in and dominate it and show why the committee kept them at number one over Michigan, who could have vaulted them to that number one spot after that impressive
win like
over Ohio State.
Like 37-17 type of game.
Yeah,
37-14. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, right. That's exactly I think so how too. I feel. It may be close early, and then LSU pulls away in the second half. Big Ten, Purdue at Michigan.
Georgia pulls away from LSU.
Yeah, yeah.
You mean Georgia
pulls
away,
yes.
Right.
Big Ten championship. We got Purdue at Michigan. Michigan -16.5.
This game will look about as bad as last week's did.
Yeah.
Michigan's too much. I respect Purdue, but that's a big hill to climb. Playing against what I think is as complete a team in the country, the way they've played and the quarterback's difference. It may look ugly early on after all the emotion last week. So it may be a little ugly, but eventually they're going to pound that run game and then they're going to hit a play action big play. Yeah, they cover. I think both Georgia and Michigan covering
this
game.
And Michigan's going to be more healthy. They're going to get Mike Morris back, hopefully.
Yep.
It sounds
yep.
like they're going to get all their key pieces back for that. Besides, maybe
I'm not
Blake
concerned
Corum.
For Georgia or Michigan in this no. in these games.
Me neither.
At all.
Big 12, Kansas State at TCU. TCU minus 2.5.
When the game wins in the fourth quarter, but TCU wins, Kansas State's going to push them to the brink.
Yes,
I'm not sure.
Agree.
I guess they'll cover because I always like when it's 2.5 with that hook, I think somebody wins by a field goal.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a 28-27 game. I'm going to say TCU covers barely, but it is a late fourth quarter win to beat Kansas State.
Yeah, I'll say like, you know, somewhere in the 35-31 range, TCU
Fair
gets
enough.
The win.
Yeah, they're going to score points in that game, I can tell you.
Yeah.
They're going to score.
And then the game nobody cares about, Clemson at North Carolina, Clemson minus 7.5.
If Klubnik plays, I'll take Clemson. If they and I think DJ's probably going to play, right? Segs after 9-29. I'm going to go Drake May with the upset. Give me North Carolina out of nowhere.
Let's go. Come on, Tar Heels.
Let's friggin' go. That's right.
Win the whole thing like I predicted in college basketball and win the ACC in football.
There you go, brother.
Let's
Make some money. Get paid fast. Fast pay makes fast friends.
We got a fun weekend. Next week, we'll talk. Trent Dilfer's a coach. Luke Fickle's now a head coach. Dillingham at ASU. And what the hell is Deion Sanders doing?
I'm about to find out. And I will talk to you tomorrow about my Trojans so you give me a pregame speech. Thanks, brother.
Sounds good. Yeah. We got big game. All right. We'll talk to you guys next week. See you.
Bet online. We love you.